With me in the studio today, I have my dear friend, Dr. Avery Jackson, a brilliant neurosurgeon, spinal surgeon. Thank you for being here today. And I just love talking to you. You're just a fountain of wisdom and just so exciting to hear how you've approached mind and medicine and brain. Tell us a little bit
more about
you.
Thank you kindly for having me. So I'm honored. I'm a neurosurgeon and board certified neurosurgeon with specialty training in complex spine. My training, though, was at a couple of level one trauma centers. So initially undergrad, University of Chicago, and then where I did some research as well, and then Wayne State for my medical school. And so I rotations were done in trauma and in emergency room then. And then from there in Northwestern, I had ER rotation and general surgery rotation. So Wow. We saw trauma there. And then at Penn State Level 1 Trauma Center, right in the kind of the center of the state of Pennsylvania. So we actually had four helicopters supply our hospital.
Wow.
So since we were the regional Level 1 Trauma Center, we saw a lot of brain injury. And then complex spine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. So we saw a lot of spine injuries there. And
wow.
And now currently I'm in private practice in a community hospital in Michigan.
That's amazing. And you see kinds of things that you're working mainly on spine and
right.
osteoporosis.
And osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis.
And a lot of that. Yes.
That's incredible. And I've watched you do brain surgery and it was amazing. I was fascinated with how you managed the whole process and the whole situation.
Thank you.
And you and I have had a lot of discussions and are going to have a lot more on this podcast and on TV. But I want to talk today, Avery, about something that you and I both get asked a lot about, and that's traumatic brain injury mm-hmm. and chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So TBI, CTE, what is the difference? How does it work? What mm-hmm. can we do? We get so many questions about that. Mm-hmm. So can you help us? Let's talk about maybe simple definition of each, how they're different.
So TBI or traumatic brain injury usually occurs as a cause or is caused by high speed acceleration, deceleration. So that could be a car accident, that could mm-hmm. be a fall, mm-hmm. That can be a missile injury, but usually it's the former versus the latter. Whereas CTE or chronic traumatic encephalopathy is usually, we see those in repetitive injuries over time. So we see those in boxers, football players, and others where they're going to have deceleration and acceleration injuries to the brain over time. And we know that one of the biggest discerning factors between the two is with traumatic brain injury, it's usually an acute presentation. We know the onset of incidents. We know that when they present, there is major neurologic derangement. And then from there, there are sequelae afterwards. And those sequelae are usually a loss of prefrontal and frontal lobe function. So people will tend to, if they survive, the ones who survive, mm-hmm. and depending upon functionality, I know that you've done a lot of work in this mm-hmm. area, but just in terms of definitions, those people go on to have the basics, which would be headache and mm-hmm. mood issues, memory issues, and so that's in the traumatic brain injury. In the CTE population, we noted this discussion around the NFL, the National Football
Very
League in particular.
Current hot topic.
Yes, super hot topic. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Amalu was the pathologist mm-hmm. who really coined CTE. He's a pathologist, Brilliant. Neuropathologist. Mm-hmm. And he saw that there were people in Pittsburgh in particular, professional football players, who would have these, they would just snap and there would be domestic violence, there'd be mm-hmm. suicide. And there was a pattern
and
that continued to occur.
And right. they blow their money and they
yes,
land
yes.
up on the streets and it
right.
would just be these crazy things.
It's just crazy things from just out of the blue
yeah.
until he looked at the pathologic specimens of mm-hmm. their brain and saw that there were some specific patterns there in terms of proteins that were deposited mm-hmm. and other pieces, other findings in the brain. He coined CTE and said this is because of all of the trauma that occurred over time with the sports
up.
Injuries that we're building up. And this mm-hmm. is an epidemic, and this is going to be a really big concern.
Yeah.
This was presented to the American Association of Neurological Surgery and to other groups, and now has come to the forefront of being a major issue. And so there is even more concern regarding brain injury, and especially in the area of sports for the high school level, as well as the college level, and then the professional level, not only in the United States, but all across the world.
And it's really is a hot topic. And there's also been almost like a denial of it. I know that Dr. Marlowe had a lot of resistance initially and with the whole concept. And it's been resisted, even though I've been treating chronic traumatic encephalopathy in my practice. When I've practiced for 25 years, I would have a lot of TBI and a lot of CTE patients. And it was just to quickly give the broad definition, TBI is like a sudden impact car accident, falling out of a tree, motorbike accident, someone hit you on the head, whereas the other is repetitive damage over time. So it's slightly different manifestations. The TBI is an immediate manifestation, often very dramatic, and then within 12 months you've got that spontaneous recovery period, and you start seeing then a ceiling after that where they don't really improve beyond that. What I found and then the CTE, as you say, it's late onset. It's these little symptoms, and then it's around the mid-30s when they've kind of, then things start. And we also saw another thing of like children that would have some sort of traumatic brain injury, repetitive as well as a young child, and then not seeming to show symptoms, and then they hit sort of 12 years and then 16 years. Those were two cutoff points where we found quite dramatic, which was also a version of CTE, where suddenly they were fine, and then suddenly now they've got academic issues and emotional issues and behavioral issues, which I think is accelerated by the hormonal changes at that age and all kinds of other things. So it's very real, and there's different ways of treating it. Now I'll do another podcast with you, and we've got, because this is a big topic, what I'd like us to do now is for you just to talk about, in terms of from a neurosurgeon point of view, neurosurgical point of view, what do you do, what can you advise parents, what is the cautionary aspects?
So there's, and that's a great point. I was just speaking to someone at actually at a conference that you just gave. And they approached me, and they had they were really high functioning before a car accident, and then after the car accident, they had some major head injury. They noted that their ability to process information was slower, and that was very frustrating to them.
Yes.
They also noted that they had some pain in certain areas of the head, and they asked about that as well. So regarding the processing piece, obviously I refer them to your 5-step process and to your books, not only the perfect you, but also to your
Switch on your brain, and then the switch on your brain 5-step learning
and
process,
the 5-step learning process,
which all grew out of my initial research and therapeutic training from working with traumatic brain injury and people with learning, because learning disabilities show similar symptoms with the memory and the processing. And one of the key things about the traumatic brain injury that I noticed was the frustration, because they remembered how they used to perform, and how they used to function, and the terrible frustration. So I would often redirect my patients to let's find a new profession. So I would have like the CEOs of companies go back into engineering, which was their first degree, which is funny. They'd sort of moved out of it and then they'd gone back into it. Others that were, I had one patient that actually then ended up not being able to finish school because it happened in 12th grade, and then started this training, did finish school, and then went on to get 3 degrees and become one of South Africa's top criminologists. Wow. So there's such hope. That's what I want to put out there, because so many people aren't filled with as much hope. That's a very bleak picture that's painted for CTE and TBI. Because I think, Irvin, you can speak to this as a medical practitioner, there's a limited amount of involvement that the neurosurgeon, and maybe the neurologist gets involved, maybe your PCP gets involved with basic management, but it's very much on the medical, the physical side.
Yeah.
But the family support, the impact on the emotions, that's not often dealt with. And yes, there are centers now that give CHI support,
because
they call it closed-head injury, what used to be called closed-head injury, TBI support centers, where they work on family support and all that kind of stuff.
Sure,
but
there's
a bigger picture that I think has been missed, and it needs to be brought back again.
That's right. You're right. And one of the things we talked about too, again, understanding that we're a three-part being. So we're a spirit, we have a soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, and we live in a body. And I think of the body as being the brain and the rest of the body. So it's kind of the earth suit. And so when the earth suit is damaged, the end organ is damaged, but the mind is good and intact. As you've mentioned, we're functioning at quantum speeds, and there's neuroplasticity which is a whole science of neurogenesis. And so mm-hmm. then when your spirit is strong and your mind is strong, you can redirect and reroute a lot of the neuroactivity that occurs, and you can still triumph. And that's what your all of your techniques that people have learned, that's one of the benefits of it. And so with this specific individual that I talked to at your conference recently, mm-hmm. one of the other issues was that she was frustrated because she was focused on the fact that she's not functioning, just like you said, where she used to be. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, why don't you think about the good things and focus on the good things as you work through this so that you don't develop this toxic thoughts, right? So I said, you can think about...
frustration will block her progression.
And block her progression, right? Because that's going to affect your thalamus and then the emotions, and then now you're going
to
have
neurotransmitters. Now you're trying to fight another physical problem on top of the already existing physical problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, think about all the good things. First of all, you can think about the fact that you've made it. Mm-hmm. You're walking, right? Mm-hmm. You have so much to be thankful for, and you're identifying the problem and that you're doing something about it. So focus on the other things. Focus on what the Word says, God's Word says about you and how wonderfully made you are.
Yeah.
And you have, as you always say, that you've often said that we have love, power, and a sound mind when you're mm-hmm. quoting Scripture. And so focus on those pieces and work through this with that practical 21-day and 5-step learning process. And so she did. She was very satisfied with that.
That's wonderful. So the thing is that there's hope. One can change that. And, you know, talking about the neuroplasticity and the neurogenesis of the brain, you know, every day we've got thousands of new cells that are being born into our brain as we wake up every morning, and it's to engage those. And if we toxic and not we are not optimistic. I mean, you speak often about the optimism and impact on the brain. You know, you and I love that particular conversation. So, you know, that the research has also shown that optimism engages the newly born nerve cells. So it facilitates, because those newly born nerve cells have to be stimulated to be wound into the networks of the mind. Mm-hmm. So it's like God has designed us to get new brain substance daily, but we have to think in the right way to engage. Otherwise, they actually die off.
That's right.
And that's toxic because they're supposed to be used.
So that's right.
We can
right.
actually increase our toxic load by not being optimistic.
That's right. And so a couple pieces with that. So from mm-hmm. from the biblical side, God's word in Philippians 4 talks about what to think on. Mm-hmm. And he was very on purpose as it relates to science, is explaining what he's talking about, which is when you think on the right things, you can renew your mind, as you've adeptly explained in all of your resource materials. And so I think that's important. I think from the clinical side, or there have been several studies, or scientific side, there have been several studies looking at optimizing your outcomes based on your optimism, being optimistic.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. I look back in the literature and when this conversations first began, and that was in the 80s, Dr. Bauer discussed that they understood that there was a link between optimism and outcomes when you had traumatic events, whether that be brain injury, whether that be fertilization issues, that failure, whether that was cardiac or otherwise. And there was a hush, and certain the scientific community did not want that information to get out. And there were conversations and papers that showed there were these conversations. And then
to try to inhibit
the message.
And this is going back quite a few years.
In the 80s. Yeah. And since then, though, there have been paper after paper after paper that have confirmed that your outcomes are improved in a number of areas when you're optimistic.
Causal links.
Yes.
Causal, and not, you know, just correlations, causal links.
Causal links. And in a whole host of different areas. Mm-hmm. The trauma from moving away to college, and the stress of studying, and the stress of being away from home, stress with cancer, stress with other pathologic issues, all those issues. And so that comes right back to the Word, and what God says is that we have love, power, and a sound mind, and we focus on His Word, then we have neurogenesis, and so it's all connected.
Fantastic. Okay, we've only just begun this conversation. I think you can agree we're going to have to continue this conversation because it's such vitally important information. So I hope you'll come back again and we can talk more about the subject and a lot more that you and I can share. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
It was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.